This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Good morning, Dean. You sound like you're a long ways away.
Well, it kind of am. I wish it was somewhere really, really warm, like I was on an island somewhere, but it's not that romantic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so we're starting a GoFundMe to get you a new computer. It's time.
Okay. My computer, I have to break up.
Yeah, well, I think it's time. I really do. I just, you know, you obviously love it, but it's time to move on. Do you want to do the numbers quickly? And I've got a few announcements.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd love for you to give us a call with an indoor gardening question, outdoor gardening question, 416-360-0740. Or if you live outside Toronto, anywhere in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. And do let Ashley know if you're a first-time caller, because then I will give you your well-earned garden wings. And we want you to call often, call early, and please, one question per call. That's an important one. One question per call. Okay, over to you, Charlie.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to get people to stick to one question. I get it. But it's true, the hour runs down very, very quickly. And we're at a big time of the year where we're all hurting and itching. We want to get outside. Today at my house, the wind is howling. The rain is driving in sideways. So there's no fun out in the garden today. And I never complain about rain at my place, because rain is such an important part of gardening. So stay indoors today and enjoy doing whatever it is you're doing, planting up and getting prepared for the coming season. Speaking of coming season, this Monday, March 11th, the Agent Court Garden Club will be meeting at 7:30 p.m., Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland Avenue. The topic is how to enter a flower show from a judge's point of view. The Burlington Hort Society is meeting Wednesday, March 13th, 7 p.m. at the Burlington Senior Center. That's 2285 New Street, obviously in Burlington. Topic is vegetable gardening. And also this Wednesday, March 13th, the Riverdale Horticultural Society meeting at 7 p.m. It's a hybrid Zoom meeting, both in-house and via Zoom. The topic is growing vegetables in containers, which is very topical for the urban gardener. For more information, go to riverdalehorticultural.ca.
Yes, it does seem to be the time of year, yes, for a lot of these garden shows. And as you mentioned last week, seed swaps and the like.
Exactly. So everybody, I feel a bit horticulturally challenged myself, because I desperately want to get out and get dirty, but can't. So believe it or not, I'm growing sweet potatoes. I've got pots of lettuce on all my windowsills. I'm propagating African violets. Like, I'm just doing everything I can think of to get dirty.
Wow. Well, good for you. Okay. Well, you know what? That's how we like to operate on this show. If you've got any stories about getting dirty, you just give us a call. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show on this 9th of March, which is pretty crazy. It's like, it's hard to believe. We're into daylight savings time tonight, right? The clocks jump ahead.
I hate this day. It's my least favorite day of the year.
Is it really? Yeah?
Yeah, because like what? A 23-hour day? I can't afford to lose an hour.
Yeah. You know? So do you, like, you really, you feel it the next morning?
No, I just, it just bugs me because it's like, I want 24 hours in my day. I just, my, you know, life is too short. You can't just have 23-hour days.
Yeah. So
it just bugs me. I think it's just silly.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's 2 a.m. tomorrow, although a lot of people do it just before they go to bed, you know, and a lot of the clocks, of course, just update themselves these days anyway.
Computers and phones, you know,
Back in the day, it was turning the hand all the way around. I don't know how many people even do that anymore.
Yeah, never know.
Okay, let's go to our first call, and we have Zoe on the line from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Zoe.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so my question is, I planted Shasta daisies last year from seed, and I have a lovely patch that nothing bloomed, but I had these lovely green leaves. So I was just looking at them the other day, and the leaves are all still there. They didn't die off over the winter. So do I cut that away and a new growth will start from the patch, or do I just let those leaves grow?
Okay, so take your cue from your plants. If the leaves are green and in good condition, and you know, as spring continues to unfold, leave them alone. Don't cut them down if they are green and in good condition. If they're tattered and ragged and brown or black or whatever, yes, then you can trim them away. Keep in mind that I can't think of any Shasta daisy that's actually evergreen, but it might just be where you've planted and it's been a mild winter that they look as good as they do. Keep an eye on them. It's always tricky when we plant things from seeds and we don't know what we're expecting. It could be that something totally different has grown up and not the Shastas. So keep an eye on them. It's not surprising they didn't bloom the first year. Many perennials do not bloom the first year from seed. So yeah, just keep an eye, keep them tidy. Send me pictures of the leaves, you know, a close-up of the leaves, if you wish, to my email address at the radio station. I'm happy to help identify if perhaps they aren't daisies.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Zoe.
Bye.
And Charlie's email for all of you out there, if you want to send a photo or something like that, is c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. Now, Charlie, you were saying that a lot of perennials from seed won't bloom first year. Is that just because the root has to get established?
I guess, you know, I think it's just how they've evolved. So, yeah, probably it is more just of a plant establishment, and it's not true for all perennials. And of course, there's biennials. They bloom the second year. That's just the way they grow, right? Leaves the first year, flowers the second. Perennials, yeah, it probably is just that, more of just a getting established.
Gotcha. Okay. We have Sandra on the line. Sandra is calling from Etobicoke. Welcome to the Garden Show, Sandra.
Turn down your radio.
You there, Sandra? Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Susan on the line, and Susan is calling from Burlington. Welcome to the Garden Show, Susan.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my
morning.
Call.
Morning, what's going on?
Well, I'm one of the nasty people that was late planting my bulbs. I talked to you. I planted tulips in a big container. They have been in my cold room over the December, January, whatever. When do I bring them out?
So when in December did you plant them? Like earlier?
I think it was late November.
Late November. And your cold room, do you have any idea what the temperature roughly is?
It never got to freezing, but I'd say close. So in Fahrenheit, okay. I guess below 40.
Okay. All right. That's good. So if they were there through the month of December and January, and now February, so that's what, roughly 12, 13 weeks. You're about at the time where you could be pulling them up. Do you, when you look, go down and look at them, of course, were they covered with anything, or are they just, it's just a pot of soil sitting there?
Well, it's dark, and actually they were covered with just a sheet of brown paper.
Okay, so go downstairs, take a flashlight if you need to, take off the cardboard, take a look. The soil should have been, I assume you watered them when you planted them. They didn't go into just dry soil.
Yeah, a bit.
Good. Yeah, so you know what? I think if you go down with your flashlight, take off the cardboard, you will see they are starting to grow. So they will be all, the leaves will be white. What's coming up will be white because of the dark. So what I would do is bring them out of the dark, obviously remove the cardboard, give a water if it's not, you know, you don't want it soggy, but you do want to make sure there's moisture available in the soil. Don't put them right into a sunny window yet. Just bring them up into warmer temperatures, like regular room temperature, into a bright spot for a few days. Of course, with all the rain and cloud right now, it's not super bright anyway. Give them a couple, like 2 days or so in a bright indirect light, and then move them into direct light. Because if you leave them in indirect light, they're going to start to grow, but they're going to get very tall and, you know, fall over. So you want them as bright as possible to keep them as short as possible. And they'll green up very quickly, and you should start to see flower buds starting to emerge, you know, within the next week or so.
Okay, so these are big containers. Like I had 50 bulbs. So I have one with 30 and one with 20. So they're... I'm hoping to put them outside on my front porch, so sort of make a stop in the house in steps, and then when would I put would I wait till like no freezing to put them out or?
No, that's a good idea. What I would do, you're right. I mean, it's mild right now, but there is some cool temperatures coming in the next couple of days. Just look at your long-term forecast for where you live. They're fine to go outside as long as it's around freezing and above freezing. Even if it's one or two below, it's probably fine. But again, make sure they've been watered. If it's going to like 10 below, you're going to have to protect them, bring them into the garage or a shed or something. But if we're around the freezing mark, they're fine to go outside.
Yeah, my tulips are all coming up. So I thought it might be fun.
Sounds good. They're going to be beautiful. Send me pictures.
Okay, good luck on that, Susan. We have to go to our next break, but the numbers to call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Give us a call. We'll be right back on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Charlie, do you have rain where you are today or not yet?
Oh, I have hurricane force winds, I think.
Oh, do you?
I'm exaggerating. But it's like really whistling and the rain is going sideways.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay. It's not quite as fierce here last time I looked out. So, but yeah, it is wet outside. It is not coming down white.
Not yet. They're talking tomorrow for some white stuff for me. And I bet you'll be having white stuff tonight.
Probably. The roller coaster winter.
I know. But I never complain about rain. You know, my well is as full as it can possibly get. Yeah. So this is where, you know, if I had known about this issue in advance, I would have a big cistern that would, my overflowing well would be saving water for the future for me. But
indeed.
Yeah.
Whatever precipitation comes down now is valuable, be it snow or be it water, because it goes into the system, right?
It does. And we're all different, right? The microclimates we deal with. It just so happens that where I'm gardening, the wind is so intense consistently all year round that it really helps dehydrate or desiccate the ground and the plants. Plus, it's very open and sunny here. So again, when there's no clouds, I am just drying out much faster than I wish I wasn't. I'm going to talk maybe next week or the week after. I'm going to attend something through the Naturalist Club here this next week. And it's on the subject of water and access to groundwater in Prince Edward County. And I think I'm going to find some incredibly interesting facts about how little, like, I think the county where I live is one of the driest places in all of Ontario.
Which is crazy considering you're surrounded by water.
I know. So, I'm going to learn some interesting stuff, and I'll share some of it with you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking forward to it. Okay. We're going to go back to Sandra in Etobicoke. Okay. Welcome to The Garden Show, Sandra.
Good morning, Charlie and Dean. Charlie, first of all, thank you for all the information you gave me about my Rose of Sharon and the email. I appreciate it. My question is, for the first time, I decided to keep tuberous begonias over the winter. I put them in peat moss. I did them similar to my dahlias. Because I use them in planters, I need them to be flowering fairly soon. Should I start them indoors?
Have you taken a look at them?
No, I probably should. I looked at
the Okay, so the reason I ask is because I did the same thing. I saved tuberous begonias for over the winter. I took a very quick peek at them like 2 weeks ago, and they were growing. So they want to get going. And I, similar to you, mine go into a big container. So yes, I will be potting them up maybe today, actually. Some potting mix, fresh, moist potting mix. It doesn't have to be huge pots, but I will pot them individually so that when I transplant them outside into the big container, they will be individual plants and good to go. But make sure if you are potting them up indoors, make sure they get lots of light. The brighter, the better, because otherwise, again, they're going to get tall and spindly and fall right over.
Right, and that's my problem, really. It's getting the light. Modern houses don't have windowsills.
Okay, Sandra, you need to go or get online and get yourself some supplemental grow light. There's all kinds of stuff out there, and it doesn't have to be super expensive.
Mm-hmm. If I've got a window, but beneath it is a heating vent, and I put them on a table there, would the mm-hmm. even though I have a deflector, would that heat be too much for them?
No, as long as you're deflecting that hot air away from them, like along the ground, mm-hmm. then you're good.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. How deep should I plant them? Just the normal planting
just
depth?
Just on the surface. Like they're like a little cup, right? Tuberous mm-hmm. begonias are like an upward-facing cup. So you sink them low enough so that the rim of the cup is at soil level.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the call, Sandra.
Thank you.
Charlie, going to the email file. We talked about forcing bulb. We were talking about that a little earlier. And we got an email from Helen, who has some hyacinth and mini daffodils. And they are in small pots in her house. And she says they're looking pretty miserable now. And she wants to know, and I actually have a similar question, because mm-hmm. I think we talked about a couple of weeks ago that I bought some daffodils, not minis. They all came up beautifully. And we had them for about a week or so, and now they're all down. And so her and I are wondering, do you cut them down? Do you dig them into the soil? Please advise. There we go. There's the question.
Very good question. Thank you for asking. I'm sure you and Helen are not alone. There's others who either bought or received pots of blooming or soon to bloom, even right now might have in their homes bulbs. Just because flowers at this time of year are so great. Like, they just perk me right up. I picked up a bunch of cut tulips the other day just because I couldn't resist having some nice brightness in my home. So once the flowering is done, in the case of the potted bulbs, forget the cuts. The cuts just go into the composter. But when they're potted, there's bulbs attached, they're in a pot. You will keep them in a bright, sunny location in your home, a windowsill or wherever. You will continue to turn them 180 degrees every couple of days to balance the floppiness, because there is no question the leaves do flop, and you will water. Now, the watering is going to be not based on the calendar, but based on the soil moisture. So you're going to feel the soil. If it's moist, do not water. If it's feeling quite dry, give some water, room temperature water. And all you're doing is what we do when in the spring when the bulbs are outside. You're allowing them to go through their life cycle. You're allowing the leaves to grow, the leaves to photosynthesize, the leaves to fatten up the bulbs, and eventually the leaves will get paler yellow, paler green, till they're completely yellow and turn completely brown. And you, during that process, are watering less and less and less, or you will rot the bulbs, right? So that's why it's feeling the soil. So eventually you have a pot that looks like there's nothing in it, a bunch of dead leaves. At that point, you can stick them in the garage until you get around to planting them outside, or put them outside, put them in your basement, put them anywhere you want, just no water, just ignore them, let them be dormant. And then come spring, come summer, come fall, whenever you want, get them in the ground, but plant them deeper, obviously, in the ground than they were in the pots.
Okay. And I think I've heard you say before that you can't reforce a bulb, right? Once it's been forced once, it'll come up in the garden, but you can't force it again.
That's right. You can't. Well, you can't. It won't flower for you. It will grow, but it will just grow green. So if you want to, you know, enjoy those bulbs in the future, enjoy them outside, because they will bloom outside if you get them out into, you know, appropriate, well-drained, reasonably fertile soil where they will get lots of sun in the spring.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you for that. And thank you for Helen for the email. And you can also email Charlie at c.dobbin@mzmedia.com if that works better for you. If you don't want to give us a call, you can always email. And that, of course, is open 24/7. You can email anytime. Okay, right now we're going to go to Maureen. And Maureen is from North York. So welcome to the Garden Show, Maureen.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Dean. And by the way, I do have a wall clock where I have to turn the dials.
You do.
There you go.
And in front of me, and I still say things. I will tell you, it is 25 to 10. I don't say 9.
Oh, you don't.
25 to 10.
Not 9:35.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good to, you know, honesty is good. Thanks for sharing. Welcome back, Maureen.
Anyway, just a little humor. Okay, my question is, I have received an absolutely beautiful Lenten rose that is in full bloom. It's 12 inches high, 14 inches wide. And I'm wondering, when do I put that in the ground?
Hmm. Okay, so for other people who are listening that heard the word rose but don't understand the word Lenten rose, what you've received is properly called a hellebore. So H-E-L-L-E-B as in Bob, O-R-E. So hellebore or helleborus. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful plant. Evergreen perennial plant that happily grows in our gardens year round. When can you put it outside? Okay, so that's the challenge. It's in full bloom right now. It will have been forced is not really the right term, but it sort of was forced, because it wouldn't be, if you had that out in your garden right now, it would not be blooming right now. It would be in bud probably, but it probably wouldn't yet have opened its buds, because the weather just hasn't been cooperative enough yet. But it would be blooming soon. It's called a Lenten rose because it it blooms around Lent, the time of Lent. And in the UK, they're called Christmas roses because they bloom around Christmas in the UK. Beautiful plants. So you're going to pick, you do know you're going to choose a fairly shady, it doesn't have to be full shade, but a dappled shade or afternoon shady location in your garden to plant it. I would not even try to get it outside until we are either frost-free, or close to frost-free. So you're going to keep it inside, enjoy it inside for the next, probably 6 or 8 weeks. And then you're going to plant it in its final location outside. In the meantime, enjoy it as a house plant, obviously. Don't need to have it right in a window, but do keep it in a bright spot. Only water when it's dry, and dream about where it's going to go in your garden, and then really enjoy it when it's naturally blooming outside early in the spring next year.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. I absolutely love it. And my friend did get it for me because she knows I always, my front has lots of sun, but the back has a lot of shade. So she did tell me it would a shade plant, so I'm really, really happy about that.
Yeah, that's great. No, it's a lovely gift, and it's a lovely plant.
Okay, thank you so much
for the call. Yeah, thanks, Maureen. Okay. And I looked up that flower. I was unfamiliar with the hellebore, and it is a beautiful plant.
It is. Oh, and it comes in so many different colors, many different leaf shapes. And like I said, evergreen. So it always is in your garden. I mean, it's under the snow typically all winter. But as the snow starts to melt, the green leaves are there. Sometimes there's a few little tattered leaves. You have to take those off. But it just starts to bloom right away. And once it's established, that was heartbreaking to me. I left behind, when I moved from Richmond Hill, I left behind several incredibly beautiful hellebores that I couldn't move. It was August. It was hot and dry. Mm-hmm. And I was moving to the land of full sun. So so I just didn't even try to move them. But gosh, really, really pretty plants, particularly once they're really well established.
Well, I'm grateful for Maureen's call, putting that on my radar, because it was certainly a flower that I, up until today, was unfamiliar with. So the hellebore, very nice. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We're going to Zarita, who lives in Aurora. Welcome to the Garden Show. And Zarita, you're a first-time caller, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Well, I am going to give you your garden wings, my dear.
Thank you.
There you go. And you know what? Before I forget, to all the ladies you've called so far, happy belated International Women's Day, which was, of course, yesterday. So to all of you.
Thank you very much. And good morning, Zarita. Welcome to the show.
Hello, you two. My question is, I was given years ago one of those orchids that you see in the grocery store or convenience store. I can't pronounce the name.
Phalaenopsis. Okay.
Will I ever be able to get it to bloom again?
So it's commonly called a moth orchid, so M-O-T-H, because the flowers look like they have wings, like moth wings. So that is, so don't worry about pronouncing Phalaenopsis. You can call it a moth orchid. Mm-hmm. Have it in an eastern window, if you have an eastern window in your home. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about orchids here quite a bit. Sometimes people do get frustrated to getting them to bloom again. Certainly, fertilizer, particularly fertilizer at this time of year, is a good idea. Mm-hmm. I keep my moth orchids happy by dipping the entire pot, the entire plant, into a pail of water, room temperature water, with some orchid fertilizer in it. I do that about once a month and year round. And my orchids just love it, and they keep on perking along and putting out flowers. And of course, once you have flowers, they last for months and months. So yeah, and there's lots of great information on the web as well. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to, you know, give it that bright spot, give it that proper watering, mm-hmm. talk nicely to your orchids, and I think you'll find they'll do just fine. Thanks, Zarita.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Zarita, and good luck on that. And Charlie, you and I touched base about this, I guess, about a week ago, and I was telling you that I dunked my Phalaenopsis, and I was telling you that it had a couple of tight buds on one of the branches, and it was unbelievable to me because I gave it that bath in that room temperature water, and then I took it out and put it on the sill, and within 48 hours, one of those blooms popped open, and then in the next couple of days, another two opened up that had been very tight for about a month or so.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's magical. It's like orchids, I find they purr after you do that dunking thing. So you dunk the pot right into the pail and you hold the pot under the water until all the air bubbles are released. So it might be a couple of minutes that you sit there holding it and you wait and wait and wait till there's no more air bubbles rising to the surface, and then get it up out of the pail, drain on, you know, and then back to its location. And they literally purr.
Yeah, no, I didn't have any fertilizer in the water. That'll be the next step for me. But and we've talked about this before. In the basement, I keep in the far end of the basement, I keep a dehumidifier most of the year. So I use that water.
Perfect.
And, so I put it in a bucket and dunked it in there. So, and you're right. Those blooms last for a long time.
And if you get a hold, well, I have an orchid fertilizer I use that is one of the blue powders that you mix with water. It's made by a company called Plant Prod out of Brampton. And it's the orchid fertilizer. It's a odd sort of a number of numbers because it's a very high nitrogen, but it's very much designed for growing orchids. And then I use it on any flowering plants, basically. It makes a difference. You remember, your plants in pots have no access to nutrient. Once they've used whatever was there, it's gone. It's not like out in our gardens where there's things dying that we can't even see in the soil and decomposing and releasing nutrients. Inside our homes, we typically don't want things living in our soil or our bark or whatever our orchids are living in. So fertilizer is very important in order to produce the flower blooms, but more leaves and just be a bountiful, happy plant.
Okay, more good information from Charlie Dobbin. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. This is The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin. And we're going to go to our next caller, Charlie. We have Zoanne on the line, who's calling from Richmond Hill, your old stomping grounds. Welcome to The Garden Show, Zoanne.
Hi, it's Joanne.
It is Joanne. Good morning.
Okay, thank
you. Good morning. Hi. Yes, I have a question. What's the best way to germinate lemongrass?
Oh, seeds. Did you buy some seeds?
Yes, I did. And I planted them as per the instructions saying plant them and then just and a pre-moistened soil and then lightly cover them, then put a plastic seal over top, but keep them in the dark for 7 to 14 days. One did germinate. At the end of that time, it says take it out and put it under light. And I kept it warm at about 21. Well, when I took the plastic wrap off and I put it under the light, it died in one day.
Oh.
And only one out of four seeds came up.
Okay. So do it again. You have lots of time.
Yeah.
Moist soil, yes. You're going to sow the seeds on the surface of the soil. I wouldn't even cover them. Just use your fingers to lightly touch the seeds, make sure that the seed and soil are in good contact.
Okay.
The seeds need light to germinate. So putting that clear plastic wrap is good, but I would not put them in the dark. I would sit them up on top of the refrigerator if you can do such a thing, or my best seed germination takes place with a heating pad from beneath. You don't need extra lighting, but do keep them out in the brightness, but not right in a window, because then that plastic wrapped container can turn into a little oven, so it gets too hot in there. But bottom line is, like you said, you want about 20 degrees, that's fine. Within 1 to 2 weeks, you should start to see a little bit of green in terms of germination. Wait until they're well germinated. Leave the wrap on. Use a little mister spritzer to moisten the soil as necessary. You don't want to drown the seeds, but you want to keep the soil consistently moist. Mm-hmm. And keep the warmth, keep the lid on, keep the brightness, though not like a hot sun, and allow that whole process to happen for a couple of weeks. Once the plants are like 2 inches, 3 inches, even 4 inches tall, mm-hmm. now we can start taking the lid off and putting those little plants right in a bright sunny window where they're going to get lots of light and really start to fill out and get ready to go out into the garden in the spring.
Okay, that sounds good. So it's interesting because the directions said to keep them in the dark for 7 to 14 days.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, no, I'm going to try this way because obviously that way didn't work. Okay, I have a germination light or whatever you call that light to get my seeds going. Is that too much light for it?
No. Just make sure that the light is several inches above the container with the plastic wrap over top of it, and make sure the light is on 16 out of every 24 hours, not 24 hours a day.
So 16 of 24 hours. Okay.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll take the
wrap off and you'll keep those little plants under that light.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's like lettuce. Lettuce needs to be sown on the surface and most seeds do not require light to germinate. That's why we put them under the soil, but some seeds do need light. So that's why you don't want to put them in the dark.
Okay, super. All right, thank you. Okay. I'll give it a try. Yep.
Good luck on that. Yeah, thanks for the call, Joanne. Okay, we're going to scoot to our last break. We have Harold on the line from Hamilton. We'll be right back with him for more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We're back here on the Garden Show, and we're going to get right to our next caller because we're only in our last 10 minutes. We've got Harold on the line from Hamilton. And Harold, you are a first-time caller. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. I've listened to your show before, and thank you so much.
Well, I'm going to give you your well-earned garden wings. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, so I brought in these my question is, I brought in these Carolina Reaper plants from outdoors last fall. I didn't really expect them to do all that well, but they're really nice and bushy. I put them under grow lights, and they're nice and leafy, and they flowered, but I can't get I can't get them to fruit. So I'm just wondering, what is the best way of doing that? Or should I just wait until, I put them outdoors sometime in May or June?
Okay, so you have to be a bee. Outdoors, insects do the pollination for you. Indoors, unless you happen to have a beehive in the house or some handy-dandy flies flying around, you have to be the bee. So get yourself a Q-tip or a very, very small, soft paintbrush, little tiny paintbrush, and when the flower, you got to be up early in the morning, when the flowers open, the moment of two different flowers are open at the same time, you do the pollination. So you just touch the inside center of the plant with the tip of the Q-tip or the paintbrush, and then to the next flower. And you go all around to the flowers, touching the different tips and moving pollen between the flowers. And you should end up with some fruit set as a result of this. And also know in your heart of hearts that you'll be going outside once the weather cooperates and you have carefully prepared those plants to be outside. So there's a process, of course, to harden them off before they go out and stay out. And once they're out, then nature will do it. Wind and insects will do the pollinating for you.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for the question there, Harold. I love that. That is great. That's so
exciting. Get somebody to run a video of you doing this. It's very cute. Being the bee.
That is so interesting. I just didn't know that. That's great. I love it. Oh, there you go. Okay, we're going to go to Michael now in Etobicoke. Welcome to the Garden Show, Michael.
Hey, good morning to you both. Quick question about planting containerized evergreens that I've been overwintering outside, kind of buried in large planters, containers, and I want to put them in the garden as soon as possible.
Okay, but don't rush digging and walking in your gardens.
Right.
They're probably just fine where they've been. I know they're not quite, it's not your vision, right? You've got a design, obviously, in mind there. So try and be patient. You'll know you can get into that garden and dig a hole and get those plants in their proper location if you can pick up a clump of soil in your hand, the palm of your hand, make a fist. Open your fist. If the soil stays in a tight little ball, do not walk in that soil or dig in that soil or do anything. Once that ball falls apart and crumbles in your hand, it's dry enough that you can get out your shovel and you can start working the soil and digging holes and doing things. But that's one of the errors we make, is we're so excited to get out and do stuff in the garden. We get out there too early, and you do damage to your soil by messing around with it when it's too wet in the spring.
Okay,
you want
so
to allow
on.
It to be
okay,
what
that,
it is
and that's
until
fine.
It dries
very
down.
Small. They've overwintered beautifully in these containers for a good look, so that's why I kept them. I know I'm at the end. I want to just tell you, I have hellebores galore blooming.
Ooh.
Now, I'm in Toronto, Etobicoke, and it's just... Fantastic. They're blooming profusely right now.
Wow. Yeah, it's an early spring, boy.
They're really beautiful. Thanks very much.
Is that the earliest you've ever seen them bloom?
Yes, earliest ever. Yes, this is the earliest ever. I've had them for years. I have 7 clumps. They're fantastic.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. So pretty. Yeah, yeah. Maureen will be happy to hear that. But, of course, you're in a bit more of a banana belt than she is. She's way up in North York.
Yeah, I'm central Etobicoke, so it's really good. Lucky.
Yeah, it's mild. That's great. Oh, good. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Michael. And my goodness, now even more, I want hellebores. Wow.
But you hear it's the years that they've been in location that has made them so eye-poppingly beautiful.
Right.
So when you first plant them, they don't really, they're just little plants. It's like not very exciting. You get a few flowers. But 5-6 years later, they are like really, really
beautiful.
Awesome.
Well, I'm in for the investment. Listen, before we go to our next caller, do you want to mention that we have Paul Oliver on the show next week? He will be in studio with us, right?
Yes, and Paul Oliver represents the Urban Nature Store, one of our sponsors. So think about what you need to know about urban nature, whether it's birds, squirrels, bunny rabbits, armadillos, whatever's going on, he's the man. And he will be with us in studio next week. I should take pictures. A squirrel has discovered Elliot's tray feeder, which he puts mountains of peanuts in there for the Blue Jays. Fat squirrel sitting right in the middle of the peanuts, just chowing down.
Love it. That's very, very funny. Okay, let's go. It looks like probably our last caller. We have Mahelen on the line, who's a first-time caller. She's calling from Fergus. Welcome to the Garden Show, Mahelen.
Thank you.
I would like to give you your garden wings, my dear. There you are. What do you got for Charlie?
I have an oak leaf hydrangea that's getting a little bit too big for the space it's in, and I'd like to know how and when to prune it.
So when you say too big, when did you plant it? Long time ago?
I sort of inherited it. It's probably about 12 years old.
Okay. Because there are several varieties of oak leaf hydrangea. Even a dwarf oak leaf hydrangea wants to be 4 to 5 feet by 4 to 5 feet. So we're talking, 2.5 meters tall and wide, meter and a half tall and wide. So if you're going to prune it, I would prune it in the spring. You will struggle because a non-dwarf hydrangea wants to be quite a bit bigger, quite large. So do your trimming. Once you start to see the green growth, when the buds start to break, it's still probably a month or 6 weeks from now, get out your sharp pruners on a dry day and bring the plant in towards the center, trimming to a bud that is going to grow to the outside of the plant. Make sure that all your new growth will grow out. Also look at the center of the plant. You probably want to thin it out in the center a bit because they tend to be quite dense plants. So take out some of the old, you could even take out the older, bigger branches, like with a little saw down at ground level, and really bring the whole plant down that way as well, as opposed to just giving it a haircut. But you could do either. You can sort of haircut it or do a real proper from ground level old wood out.
Okay, that sounds good. And the other problem I have is it seems to bloom really nice every second year. On the alternate years, it doesn't send out many blooms. Is that something I'm doing wrong?
No, and it's not a problem. Like, don't blame yourself. Many plants do that. They have big bloom years and low bloom years. It's because of the energy required to produce those flowers. We see the commercial fruit growers have the exact same thing. One year there's a bountiful harvest of apples, and the next year that they don't have the same bountiful harvest because they don't have the same number of flowers. So it's an energy thing for the plant. Do your best. Always top dress. Make sure there's lots of good organic matter provided to the plant so it's healthy and happy. I think you'll find it'll bloom more consistently if you're providing real nice soil around the base of the plant, homemade compost, that sort of thing.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for your help.
Thanks for calling. That's a great plant. Dean, you want to Google something.
Yeah.
Oak leaf hydrangea. So the leaves look like oak leaves.
Okay.
But the flowers look like hydrangea flowers. So, and they're just really pretty. And I'm a fan of bark that's kind of peely bark.
Yep.
Like, it's not just, I mean, I like smooth bark too, but I like bark with character. And that's a plant that also has a lot of great bark. So it's.
And what kind of light would that plant like?
It's a half sun, half shade plant. So it's, okay. It can do really well in dappled. It can be used as an understory plant not a maple, but, a honey locust, something with small leaves, a birch, something like that. So anyway, that's a great one. Thank you. My gosh, we're out of time. So next week, Paul Oliver, we're all in studio, which will be very fun. Those of you that like listening to the show live through the web will not only be able to hear us next week, but you can see us. So we'll be wearing our best clothes and, we'll have our hair brushed for a change.
<You got it.
laughs> Thanks, Dean. Couldn't do any of this without you or Ashi. So big thanks to both of you and the great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.